new seeing each other, aren't you? Did I tell you that we're going to be having a sinspiration at the end of the month?
We need another one. Take three.
I give her a compliment and she's giving me orders. The preacher's wife never give up, do you, Miss Campbell? What are you laughing about, Jill? You're a preacher's wife. Start stepping on toes. Where's my wife? Okay, I'm okay. We are going through. But honestly, this to me, the most interesting book in the Bible. I really feel that way because it tells what was and what shall be. I love the book of Acts or any things that Paul wrote, but for some reason, maybe because we just never heard it when we were growing up and don't hear a lot about it now, but I think Revelation is a tremendous, tremendous subject for us. We are start with the 18th chapter this morning, chapter 18, verse 1 and following. Then after this I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority. The earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Lord God, let us understand the history that's behind and the future that lays before us. And we can learn from, grow from those who came before us, the writers, the prophets, and the priests, and all those who served you, as well as we now have taken their place to serve you as well. So, Lord, give us an understanding. Help our country, Father. We're in dire straits. We're turning on each other in the streets, and in the courts, and on the social media, as well as the television and radio. We need hope. And hope comes not from somebody with an R or a D behind their name. The hope comes from Jesus the Christ, who we need. For those who are sick, Father, those who are on beds of affliction, those who are recovering, bless them and their caregivers. For those who mourn and weep over lost friends and loved ones, give them comfort and strength. And Father, may we always be serving you here on the earth. Bless our military, our missionary, our law keepers and our caregivers, and give them your blessing. And be with the speaker today, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Rikers in New York. San Quentin. Leavenworth. Alcatraz. Gitmo. The Gulags. The Stalags. Auschwitz. Dachau. The Hanoi Hilton. What do they have in common? Places we really don't want to be. Places where hardened people are suffering. Babylon was the same name back in the time in the Old and New Testament as well. It represented all the evil that was piled upon the earth. First, there was the physical Babylon. The Babylon that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and hundreds and thousands of Jewish captives went after by their own fault. Because they worshiped false gods, Israel was captured by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And we know the years that they spent there was years of purification to try to get them to straighten out so they can go back and get on track back in Jerusalem and rebuild it once again so that it prepared the way for the coming of Jesus our Savior. But from then on, it was used as a horrible place. See, Babylon was the first group that captured the Israelites after David had set up his kingdom, after Saul had been the king, after Solomon had been the king. They were the first one to come in and destroy the Israelite army. But it was an army of people, an army of soldiers, who were greatly weakened. Not weakened by the Babylonians or the Persians or the Greeks or anybody else who was to come later. It was weakened from within. The thing that had sustained Israel through all of its high times. The leadership. We just finished up King David on Wednesdays. The leadership of David, Israel was at a great height. It conquered a tremendous amount of area. Then Solomon, with his political standings, had brought in even more area, not by sword or spear or horse, but by treaties and marriages, quite honestly. And it covered the largest land it ever covered in all the history of Israel. Sometimes we get too satisfied with ourselves. And Israel had gotten too satisfied with itself. They sought about to please themselves. They sought about to care of no one but themselves. And they had a bad memory. They forgot about God. And as they forgot about God, God kept sending more and more prophets and teachers, trying to wake them up, trying to shake them up, trying to bring them back. But they wouldn't listen. I bet it's happened to some of you. You start getting a stomach ache, and you take more and more Rolaids and Tums and all that kind of stuff, and finally, after months and months of suffering, maybe a little blood comes up, you say, I better go to the doctor. You find out you've got an ulcer. Which would have been a lot easier cured if you'd responded with the first sign. And there's all kind of illnesses that do that to us. I had a friend come and visit me this past couple weeks. I'm afraid he's never going to go away. His name is Arthur. My hands are starting to get stiff and they crackle and pop when I move them. And I'll eat some of that palm oil seed and some of that fish stuff, and I'll eat some of that jellyfish stuff that's on the television probably and all that stuff, but I don't know if it's going to help or not. But I'm going to try. The problem was Israel had gotten so many warnings that they didn't listen to that before long it was just simply too late. And they were destroyed. Getting ahead to get behind to get back ahead again. This is my summation that I'll give it to you later. Have we, as Americans, have we as people in the 21st century around the world been given all the warnings that God's going to give us, and finally He's going to say, I have had enough of this. They better straighten out quickly. Chapter 18 talks about that. He says again, I saw another angel coming down out of heaven. He had great authority. Did you know there were different ranks of angels, evidently? Our archangels, they had different jobs. This one had a tremendous amount of authority. He was so brilliant in his life that he's shown. Oh, there was a great commercial on last night. I don't know what it was for, but you buy this roller stuff, and you roll it out on the grass, and you plug it in, and the whole yard starts to glow. And it's not even plutonium or anything like that. It's some kind of little mini light fixtures, and it's wonderful, they say. You can have weddings and everything there. Just don't mow on it. As an electrician, I never thought about mowing a yard full of wire. I can guarantee you that. But he was illuminated, this man was, this angel was, this leader was, this messenger was. With a mighty voice he shouted, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Now remember, John is seeing this in visions. John's spirit has been taken up to heaven. So he's seeing the future. He cannot be talking about, specifically referred to, but therefore mentioned of, continuing more confusing words to use, Babylon the city. That's long been gone. Long been gone. Talking about the Babylons now. They fall under those terms. Like St. Quentin. Like Hanoi Hilton. Like the Stalags. Like the death camps. Bad and evil places. Fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a home of demons. Did you ever go into an empty house and either a bunch of birds fly out of the attic or bats fly out? You're going like this, you're jumping and you're ducking. What am I doing here? If any of y'all have been spelunking, I love the word spelunking. I couldn't spell it if you gave me a T-bone. But I love that. Spelunking, for those of you like me, it means crawling the caves. And you come to a big opening and someone makes a rush and there's a bunch of bats on the ceiling. That will take your breath away. And the ladies always cover their hair because they know the bats crawl into women's hair and never come out. I've heard that before. I wouldn't recommend it. She's become a home for demons. A haunt for evil spirits. Their abode. A haunt for very unclean and detestable birds. The birds of prey. You have lived here long enough that you know what a buzzard is. Or a vulture is. They come and they get dead bodies and they chew and eat them, and all the side of the road would be a possum or something like that. Of course, if we didn't have vultures and buzzards, we'd probably have dead possums all up and down the road, so it's probably a good thing for us. But all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. Well, that's a symbolic word when he's talking about those who have worshipped the false gods. They've given themselves over to the Baals and the Moloch and all these false gods because they got thrilled and enthused by it. Now, 20 years ago when I preached this sermon once, I could say, I don't know whether there are any false gods around anymore or any false religions. But folks, just read the paper. Look on the internet. You can find all kind of demon worship, all kind of devil worship, all type of symbolic things of things that are evil and trying to take our mind off of God because it's a lot more fun. Don't fall into that trap, he's saying. Don't go into addictions and things that hurt you, hurt your body, hurt your spirit even more. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her. They've gone over to worship her as their gods. The merchants of the earth grew rich from excessive luxuries. Now we've gone to being kings, to people talking about money. The Bible does talk about money. We read on. I heard another voice from heaven saying this. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Twice else in the Old Testament, one in Jeremiah, one in Ezekiel, he calls for the people to come out away from Babylon, not to get involved in places we don't need to be. My grandmother was born in 1895. And one of her sayings when we come to be teenagers is, quote, nothing good happens after 9 o'clock at night. My saying's 113 years old, I believe, or 123 years old, I guess. Nothing good happens. The people you hang with are the people you become. You've heard that, haven't you, from a grandparent or somebody? In other words, who we associate with makes the mold that we fit into. And what we need to understand is, if somebody's, quote, up to no good, do you want to be up to no good with them? No. So get away from them. Get out of them. That's what he's telling. We don't need to be doing. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crime. She's not sought, nor will she receive any forgiveness. Now, Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, but we have to accept his forgiveness. We have to live the life that he would choose for us to live. And if we don't conform, we suffer. And eventually, we shall die in our sins, which shows no hope, no promise, and no opportunity for salvation because we chose not. There's a commercial on today. It's not lunchtime yet. And I know some of you have had this pleasant little visit by a thing called the shingles. Y'all ever had the shingles? I see some hands raving. A bunch of you know what I'm talking about. Well, this guy's going to give you a shot to keep you from getting the shingles. And he says everybody who's ever had chicken pops, pox, pops is a cereal, and ever had chicken pox can get the shingles. And then they show you this guy's back, and it does not look pleasant, and I know from those who've had it. Wait a minute. I hope I'm adopted. My grandmother had shingles, and my father had shingles, about the age of 70. We got 5 more good years back. And you say, I need that vaccination. I had a bad scare the other day. I walked through a field at a job site, and I looked down. It was a vine wrapped around my ankle. And I looked down real quick. One leaf, 2 leaves, 3 leaves, 4 or 5. I was okay. Because poison ivy is not a friend of mine. I used to have to get poison ivy vaccinations. And they hurt. So what he's saying is get away from the place where something bad is going to happen. Excuse yourself from it. Don't be around people that cause trouble. I guarantee you a lot of good men and women have been ruining life by the people they associate with. Not something they would have ever done by themselves, but when the crowd gets involved, they get involved as well. And that is not good. So go away from Babylon, he says. Come out of her, my people, and you will not share her sins, so that you will not receive her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back. to her as she is given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as glory and luxury she has given herself. In other words, don't honor what is evil. Have you ever been influenced by the wrong people? The answer is yeah. Some of the heroes and idols that we look to in sports. You know the biggest name in sports is right now? Dungabert Kumperbinker, or whatever his name is, out in San Francisco, because he wouldn't stand for the national anthem. Look at our movie stars, who we honor. Vote for me because so-and-so says you should. When you look at the life of those so-and-sos, you think, that's not a good example. Buy this record or that record. See this TV show or that TV show. We have set up before us the wrong people to follow. Find somebody that's got righteousness with them. And look to what they do, how they react and how they respond. And we'll find out we're a whole lot better off. Oh, we may not be famous. Matter of fact, we're probably never going to be famous here on earth. But I promise you this, because the Bible promised me this. On that day of judgment, when we fly away to join Jesus in heaven, when He takes and hugs us with those nailed, scarred hands, when we look and see the scars from that crown of thorns upon His head, and He says, "Well done, my faithful servant. Welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. Whatever you've done on earth for me, I will do for you in heaven." I think that's going to be a whole lot better than an Academy Award or a new Cadillac or whatever people look for. And it's our choice. It is that simple. Revelation is not a complicated Bible, a book. Revelation tells us what God is planning. All we got to do is say, "I'm with you," or "I'm against you," because there is no middle road. You have to choose. In her heart, she boasts. "I said as a queen, I am not a widow." In other words, her husband has not been killed in battle. "I will never mourn." Did you ever meet somebody who never felt any kind of remorse or sadness in their life? It's called a psychotic. Most of our mass killers are that way. They just don't care what happens to anybody. They have no heart. They have no soul in their lives and relationships with others. "Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her," John has written down. The angel told him this. "Death and mourning and famine, she will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." The term hell is not mentioned that often in the Bible. We actually get its description, Geona, from the fire-laden pit, trash pit, on the bottom of the mountain beside the temple. There's a deep cave in there. They would take public executions and do it there as they killed or stoned people. They would take the bodies of all the dead animals and everything that was unclean, all their trash, and everything like that, and dump it down there. That just perpetual motion of fire and smoldering. Did you ever go by an old dump site and you still smell it, the decay that's there? That's where the description of Gehenna or Sheol comes from. She, Babylon, evil, sin, the angel says, they'll be consumed by the fire. And they understood that in the New Testament, because that's what it did continually. Internal combustion. That's not the word I want. It just burns. "When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified by her torment, they will stand afar off." Some have thought this refers specifically not to the city of Babylon, but the city of Rome, who has controlled Israel for centuries. It was the Roman leaders. It was the Neros. It was the Claudius and those guys who were so evil, they punished. They punished the Jews continually. They're the ones that arrested the Apostle John. And he's trying to tell them that they're going to get their due. And their short, happy life, thrill life, the debauchery life on earth will not carry over. The kings of earth who come up shall share in her luxury, shall see the smoke of her burning. They will weep and mourn over her, terrified by her torment. They will stand afar off. Some of you of Maine may have been to New York City at one time. We were there in 95, so it was prior to 9/11. They say those who have seen the buildings when they were on the ground before it was cleaned up were in shock and awe of what happened there. And they built those two reflecting pools. And they will eventually honor each of the five buildings that came down. People say, how could this happen? Not why did it happen, but how could it happen? They were so big, they were so tall, they were so great, they were so destroyed as well. And the kingdoms of earth that are against God, they shall be destroyed. Oh, woe, woe, oh great city, oh Babylon, city of power, in one hour your doom has come. Go back and get on YouTube or do a search on your computer and watch from the time the airplanes hit to the fall of those two big towers. Wasn't very long at all. And what once was no more. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys her cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloths, every cordon of wood, articles of every kind made with ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense and myrrh and frankincense, of wine and oil, of flour, of wheat, of cattle, sheep, horses, carriages, and the bodies and soul of men will be destroyed. You see, when there is no city, there is no people to need those cargoes. And all those cargo ships that were coming to New York were stopped for a period of time. Within the last year or so, there was a big strike of the men and women who unload the cargo ships out in the West Coast. And they were sitting there days and days and weeks and said, we may not even get to have Christmas this year because we can't get the stuff unloaded to get to Walmart, I think, to get to us in time. That's what I see here. Commerce has stopped. They will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanquished and never been removed and recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from it stand afar off, terrified at our torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out. It will be a sad and desolate time. Several of you I know were here on Friday, August the 13th, 2004. And what I've heard from most people that were here, I can't believe what happened. Buildings that looked so great were gone. Whole subdivisions knocked down and destroyed. Mighty buildings, the wind knocked the windows out of them, sometimes tore the walls down. In just that few short minutes that Charlie went through here, a great destruction. What would it be if that happened all over the world at one time? Some of you know about depression because you went through that and you lost a lot. What would the world be if that happened to everywhere at one time? We would be a distressed and a lost people. That's why the angel's telling John to tell us to be prepared and be ready so that we won't be a lost. We won't be a distressed people because we know that God's got a plan. We just have to follow that plan. Revelation is that simple. They will say the fruit you long for is gone from you. All your riches and splendors have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her, meaning Babylon, meaning sin, meaning evil, will stand afar off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out. My grandfather was born in 1890. In 1929, he had four or five kids and one on the way, my father. I said, Papa, the Depression, how bad was it? Rolled his mouth around, spit tobacco on my bare feet, and said, boy, we raised our own corn, maters and taters and cabbage. We had cows for milk, goats and cows and pigs and sheep to eat. The only thing we ever bought from the store was salt, and we shared it with the cattle. We used chicory and bark for our coffee. And he said, boy, don't you understand? We were so poor. It was 1933 before we knew there was a recession, a depression. It didn't affect them. They were self-sufficient. I said, what about all the tragedies of people losing all their money? He said, well, you know, at that time, Lexington only had one two-story building. And all the rest of the guys kept jumping out the windows, were only falling 3 feet, and it didn't hurt them. Are you prepared? We better be, because the warning is right there. And if we're prepared, we'll be like my papa and his six kids. Dad was born in the middle of 30. We'll be like him. We can get by. But if we're not prepared, we're prepared. If we're depending on a guy was in Sam's the other day, and this guy was just throwing a fit. He got there and paid like $1,500, $1,800 for one of those big TVs. He says, oh, man, we picked up the 55-inch. I wanted the 65-inch TV. I'm thinking, really? It's that important. There'll be some changes in our desires when those days come. You remember, Charlie? You were happy to get that plastic bottles of water. You were happy to get tissue that wasn't Charmin just because it was tissue. You were happy to get Spam. Not because it tasted all that good, but it does, because it tasted something. We need to understand that there needs to be a plan, and we've got to apply it to our life. Whoa, whoa, great city, dressed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, glittering with gold. Doesn't it sound like New York? Glittering with gold and stones and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to a ruin. I've never heard the final cost of the destruction on 9/11. Both the lives and the cost of the money. It was great, though. Every sea captain and all those who travel by ship and sailors and all those who learn their living from the sea will stand afar off. When they see the smoke from her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever city as great as this one? They will throw dust on their heads and they'll weep and cry out, oh, great city. And all those who were on ships of the sea became rich their wealth. In 1 hour, we saw it brought to a ruin. That's how fast God. Every once in a while, just turn on at nighttime your weather channel when they show those weird weather shows. And watch what a tornado can do to a town in 5 minutes. God has some destructive forces behind him that he can use. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her on the way she treated you. God, we're told in our Sunday school class this morning, gets his revenge. And the punishment as well as the rewards come out. Then, you know what? I got to stop here because it's past time and you're hungry. And I got 15 minutes in the next three verses. So we're going to stop on 21 right there. Just remind me next week, 21. Let me say this to say that. Those things I just read sound horrible, don't they? I don't want to see any of that. Cities burning down, winds coming across, all the other things that will happen very soon. I don't want to see that happen. But I know that if we stay prepared, whatever God does, at whatever time he chooses, how he sees to execute his final plan will happen, and we shall not be harmed. Oh, we may die in a hurricane or a flood or a fire or a heart attack or wreck or whatever. We may die a physical body, but our spiritual body shall live on and on because Jesus told us, I go to prepare a place for you. And whither, it's King James, whither I go, there you may be also. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's good news. And if we concentrate on the good side of what Revelation teaches us, we will be ready. It's like a Swiss Army knife for the soul. Whatever you need, a saw, a needle and thread, a toothpick, it's there. But Jesus gives us whatever we need. A hug, a kiss, a congratulations, a rescue. Don't ever let it get you down. God's got a plan. All we got to do is follow it. Our hymn of invitation and decision.
476.
476. Stay with me. It was saying 476.